let's start. Let's go to, let's get back to Luke. Luke chapter 15. So I missed Sunday and yesterday. Did anything happen of merit? Of worthiness to talk about? I think we stopped at verse 6.
14, 6?
15. Well, it's a whole. We have to go back up to verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance.
Anybody mind if we turn the heat down 1 degree?
Now, is there a just person which need no repentance? It's a trick question.
Yeah. Christ is obvious, but maybe he repented too.
Well, I mean, the evidence of his repentance was his baptism. That's when he took upon the sin of the world.
They're no good men, they're no just men either.
That's what the word just means, is good.
You didn't know that. No, I do.
Did he get it?
Huh?
Did he get it? Was that the answer?
No, the answer, yeah, there's no just. So this is it's a parable within a parable. Now, in verse 6, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. You remember where the word lost is the word that means dead. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
2 Corinthians 4:10.
What?
I'm sorry,
5:10. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I made a mistake. Verse 11 now. Knowing therefore the terror of God, or the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you know the terror of the Lord?
I've never heard that term used before to describe him. What does that mean?
The terror of the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, that may be a reason that repentance is so hard. If you don't know the terror of the Lord, then you're gonna just continue living your life like it is, like you always did. The terror of the Lord is the fear of the Lord, except probably terror is a little stronger than fear.
I've heard fear.
So knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What do you persuade men about? To accept Jesus as their personal Savior? No. Let's look and see what it says a little bit, then we'll talk about it. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. And what he's saying is, if anybody's life is about themselves, then that's what it says, if we are beside ourselves. And it means he's crazy. That's what this. So if you are still concerned with self from a spiritual standpoint, you are insane. You understand that? But we have to be insane to God. In other words, I'm God's insane. If we're sober, you're not in the picture, you as a person. If you're sober, your life is always about the benefit of someone else without regard to self, without regard to you or yours. You understand that? That's a biggie.
Right thinking, wrong thinking.
Crazy or sober. Or crazy or sane from a spiritual standpoint. Crazy is self-seeking, self-realization. Self-actualization under any guise. For whether we be, verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, means, it's a word that means crazy, nuts. It is to God. But if we're sober, it is for your cause. That's enough to think about for the eternity. Anytime your life enters into the picture, from a spiritual standpoint, you're nuts. And this is why, in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And this is that word. The new creature, it's not new and proved you, it's you dead, you gone. you no longer exist. For me to live is Christ, to get die is gain. So you're nuts because you've resurrected the evil one. Even if you have to say, I'm doing this to God. Now, hopefully that'll cause repentance. Remember, you got to hear this. There was all the washings before you could even get into the picture. Then there was the sin offering. You couldn't get to the next one without the sin offering. The sin offering was what? It was you. You are the sin. Periodically, you're going to trespass because you're going to screw up. And then there's a trespass offering. You can't even partake of any of the peace or the meal or the burnt offering until those offerings have manifest. From a spiritual standpoint, you're still in the world. You're still back in Egypt. Your sin is forgiven, but you're still living your life as if you're still in Egypt. You're still being concerned with self. You're still doing all these things. But from a God standpoint, you're a spiritual infant. You understand that? All right, let's go back to Luke. We've talked about this before, but we're going to talk about this idea of a friend. Where he said he calleth his friends. Let's go to John 3. It defines it.
John
chapter 3. This is the fullest recording of what, remember in Matthew's version and in Luke's and Mark, it's about just about nothing, except the only one is, the constant is bring forth fruit suitable for repentance. That's a constant in the other Gospels. Now here John has a fuller record. Now, well, we'll just read it. Verse 22. Now, this is important because this is the fuller version of what John the Baptist was saying. After those things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Jordan. There he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee before Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come unto him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given unto him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, and rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, I'm going to look at verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. John the Baptist said the best he could be was the friend of the bridegroom. Now, we've talked about this many times. After the flesh, the best you can be, the highest you can reach after the flesh, even if it's a friend of the bridegroom that has to die. He must increase. I must decrease. Now, do you understand that? This is why this word friend is so important. There's nothing about the fall that can be taken into the kingdom. You understand? That's a simple statement everybody should agree with. The fruit of the fall is the realization or concern for self. So there can be no aspect of self in eternity. It can't happen. So then what goes to heaven?
The new creature.
Which is the bride. So there's nothing about you or me that can enter into the kingdom of God. The only one that's entering into the kingdom of God is the bride. Does that... What? Something's going on over there. Is it you?
Possibly. That makes sense. I agree. I agree too.
So everybody's agreed. No, there's no questions.
Yeah, our little dog's not going to heaven with us.
No. Mate. Doesn't matter. We can talk about that if you want to, but not only is your little dog not going to heaven, you're not.
Right.
Where it talks about new creature, it implies, the way I read it the first time, that the individual that he's talking to a person.
Well,
new creature is part of the bride. I mean, it's
right, but the point of the new creature is the same as the word born again. You're born from a first estate. You have to be born from the beginning of beginnings. And the only way that's only true if you're born from eternity. That's why the New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Because we're not born again by a profession. You're born again when you know that you know that you know that Christ is in you. Otherwise, and if he is in you, you have to go. There's no, you can't, both can't be there. You can't even perceive of the kingdom of God until you're born from above. Otherwise, your idea of the kingdom of God will always include you. Because that's the fruit of the fall. That's, now we have these. We have a whole Christian society that teaches that you as the flesh, you are going to go to heaven. And you hear these guys? I did it again. I was bored, so I turned on religious television last night. And there's a guy, I don't even know who he was. It was not any that we've monitored, but it was somebody talking about he goes up to heaven and has conversations with Jesus and the prophets. And my God in heaven. All right, well, that's the idea of friend. Let's go also to see another place, John 15. Starting in verse... 1. This is important. John 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. That's that great word that it's really that you are empty. You are what's that? What's the word?
Did you say purged or something?
Huh?
Purged?
No. This is clean. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken.
Purged.
Well, anyway. And then we don't have to talk about that now. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Now what does it mean to abide in him? It means that your mind can never leave that. If it does, it has to repent. You. If you ever leave the awareness that you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, if you're. The thing that has that. That can't be just a concept. It has to have fruit. And the fruit of the concept, the fruit of that is the emptying of your mind. It's not... One of our friends... And we haven't seen him since that I said that we had this conversation with him. He said with all sincerity that because he was a believer, now his thoughts were sanctified. What can anybody see? What's wrong with that picture?
Still alive.
the evil one has resurrected himself. He's not, you're not alive.
How about this friend of the bridegroom?
That's the best the flesh can be.
But that's not the point.
That dies. Well, you have to have your head cut off.
Yeah.
That was the symbolic. Once he appeared, then John had to have his head cut off. The symbolic of you have to have your head cut off. So you're not carrying around the idolatry that's been your life, that has defined you. And it's just another way of looking at what baptism is. Baptism, your whole being is dead, but he can't. He decreased to the point of his head cut off. He finished the course.
Yeah, and he was the one that was
greatest among men.
Greatest among men. He was the one that was proclaiming Messiah. And so it's universal that it's understood that he lost his head, that it's got to mean something important.
All right. Now, where are we? I am the vine, verse 5. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, it has to be, you understand? Think about this. I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, and then, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. But you understand that he, in order for that parable to be true, that person once had to have been abiding in him. And then if he abides not in him and bears not the fruit, then he's cast out into the oven. You understand that? All right. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father or from my Father I have made known unto you. Now, so this is another use of the word friend with regard to the disciples. The disciples were no longer disciples, but his friends. after he had told them all things that he had received of the Father. I remember one time we were having, when Stealth Group was still meeting, and I told John, I said, John, I've told you everything that I know to tell you. And it scared him to death, if you remember. And the reason it scared him was he then saw his responsibility as an elder. There's a turning point. When you go from a disciple to a friend. Because then you're not, you see clearly, you see that the friend of the bridegroom, that's the best your flesh can be. Another way of talking about your flesh is you're just God's sperm cell. It has to be joined to the egg, and you have to lose your identity. That's what born again means. Anyway, my mind is. I'm not going to start. We'll do that later. I'm talking to myself. I was about to go on a rant. So we'll save that for later. All right.
Tune in tomorrow for our
yeah. All right, take it, big guy.